Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marcia Hashimi. Lebanese went to the polls to vote in general elections. For the first time in 9 years, parliamentary elections have taken place and are seen as crucial for the country's future, a country that is at the center of the crosshairs of Israel, Saudi Arabia, Daesh, and others want to send a message to the world about the direction their country is to go. Stay with us as we take a look at the possible direction it may go. Let's cross over. We're going to have Press TV's correspondent, Mariam Saleh. Mariam, fill us in on the latest situation and what you know so far.
Well, we can say, Marzia, that generally today was a good election day, that it came out fine and smooth, no clear violation, except for the fact that this is a new electoral process. This is a new law that people need to get used to. It took some time in some areas. In some areas, no, it was okay. And the highest turnouts were in one of the southern Lebanese areas and also in the Beqa and Hermel area. So therefore, generally speaking, it was a good turnout. Even in other places for foes of Hezbollah, they also had perhaps a high turnout. Now, we can say that for the preliminary results, from the count of votes so far in South Lebanon, the lists that are for the Amal movement and Hezbollah alliance seem to have the greatest number of votes, of course, because the other lists have very, very minimal votes, and they will easily win. However, in other areas, we might see some surprises, especially in Beirut. They could have a lot of votes for Hezbollah's list over there, and that way removing many of Saad Hariri's candidates in his list. This is something that would be the first time in 20 years removing members of the list from the Hariri family and the future movement specifically. Of course, there were some other areas where we saw some clashes, some minimal clashes by individuals who support this group or that group. But generally speaking, it was a good election. And as you said, everybody's scrutinizing what's happening, especially the Israelis. The Israelis have said that this will be a chance for Hezbollah to come back even greater than ever before into the parliament, along with even more allies than ever before. Back to you, Marzia.
All right, well, thank you so much for that update. Out of Southern Lebanon, Press TV's Mariam Saleh. I'd like to welcome my guest to the program. Out of Beirut, Professor, Lebanese International University, Mr. Jamal Hakim. And out of New York, writer and political commentator, Mr. Nasser Al-Omari. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Beirut. Let's talk about how crucial this election is or not. Your take, Mr. Hakim, is it crucial? And if so, why is it the case?
Yes. Well, this election has two dimensions. First, there is a competition between the various parties that make part of the coalition in power. Lebanese political system is very special. It's more of a coalition between various parties that compete sometimes in their external political agenda and alliances. And at the same time, there is also the internal dimension with the process of regenerating the political elite. So on one hand, I believe that Hezbollah was very interested in expanding its share in the parliament just to give himself like a veto vote within the parliament against any drastic decisions that this parliament would take regarding the legitimacy of Hezbollah as a resistance movement, not only as a political party, but there is also the other dimension, which is internal. And I believe that the low turnout in some districts, especially in Beirut, in the capital and in the north, I believe that they reflect the degradation and the retreat of the coalition of Mr. Saad Hariri and the President of the Republic, and I believe that they will lose many seats in the upcoming parliament.
Okay.
Because their economic agenda have been less responsive to the needs of the people. The economic system isn't working well. The productive sectors, agriculture and industry, are almost non-existent. The Lebanese economic system relies mainly on speculation, and we have been trying, or the political elite have been trying, to regenerate this through loans from the from abroad. So I believe that we also have a crisis of the system at the same time.
Okay, well, Nasser al-Amari, we look at the situation with Israel, and, for example, Saudi Arabia, especially these two entities, seem to be very, very interested in this election. Why is this election so important, specifically for these two entities?
I think it's Lebanon has always been important in the equation in the Middle East, and more so at the current moment. Everybody is awaiting the Trump administration's decision on whether to withdraw from the nuclear agreement with Iran, which will indicate where Israel and the United States will go in terms of sanctions. Of course, Hezbollah in Lebanon plays a very important role in its alliance with Iran. So Israel looks at the situation from the lens of the strength that Hezbollah will gain internally and the support that it has internally to be able to possibly, wage a war if war does break out, in the region. Saudi Arabia, as we know, has aligned itself with the Netanyahu government. So they also are looking at the situation and monitoring what's happening in Lebanon, to see if the internal Lebanese, if the political process within Lebanon has given Hezbollah and its allies enough momentum to push the agenda of confronting Israel. So Lebanon is very important, and the upcoming formation of government will probably be a serious problem for Lebanon. It's very hard to see how a government can be formed given the divisions within Lebanon right now among the various fractions and various powers in the Lebanese political system.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little about those fractions. Jamal Wakim, as our guest in New York, has just said, talking about the division inside of Lebanon. One would think, looking at, let's just say, Lebanon's more recent history, not even going back to the 80s or the 90s, but the 2000s, and looking at the victory over Israel by Hezbollah. And of course, as we move forward, there was a lot of insecurity after the start of the Syrian war. And of course, we saw instability or bombings taking place in Lebanon. And of course, Hezbollah came in and took care of business, as one would say. So looking at that scenario, I want to look at it from a nationalist perspective. Why wouldn't a Lebanese support the group that is actually protecting the country? Tell me about the dynamics there.
Well, it's a bit complicated. I'll try to simplify it as much as possible. Lebanon, since its establishment in the mid-19th century onward, has always been reflective to the regional and international balance of power, with regional and international powers drawing alliances with local elements. In the post-Ta'if era, Lebanon was mainly a state sponsored by three powers, which are Syria, Saudi Arabia, and the United States, which were sharing power and which were sharing influence in this country. So Hezbollah was considered as an ally of both Syria and Iran, alongside the Amal movement. On the other hand, the Christian elite has always paid allegiance to the West, mainly the United States in the past three decades. As for the Sunnis, they have paid allegiance, or the Sunni elite, it has paid allegiance to Saudi Arabia. So that's why Lebanon, we need to understand it within its regional dynamics, or within the regional dynamics of the Middle East. And that's why we don't have national consent over any of the strategic issues, including hostility to Israel. Whereas, for example, Hezbollah takes the leading role in confronting Israel in defense of Lebanon, we have other political parties which consider that their interest lies with the Arab states that are calling for peace with Israel. And this explains why we don't have full-fledged support to Hezbollah and the armed resistance against Israel. This is a fact that we need to admit. In addition, I believe that Lebanon is distorted between various alliances in the Middle East, whereas Hezbollah allies itself to Syria, Iran, and of course by extension to Russia against the United States, Turkey, Saudi Arabia. On the other hand, we have the March 14th groups, which ally themselves mainly to Saudi Arabia and to the United States. And the political agenda of both the United States and Saudi Arabia is to have an end to the Arab-Israeli conflict and to draw an alliance with or to establish a new regional order in the region, which integrates Israel into the region. So that's why we have this distortion, and that's why the parliamentary elections turns into always acquire a regional dimension the way these elections have
okay.
done.
Well, Nasser al-Omari, I want to look at, on the one hand, there were some problems, some minor problems overall, or we'll have to see in the final reports that coming out, as far as the election results starting to come out on Monday morning. We do know that some of the polling booths, from what our correspondent was telling us, there was some problems in making it complex for people to vote and these type of things. But overall, no serious breaches of security, no terrorist attacks. I want to look at the significance of that. Again, we go back post-Syrian war situation, what happened when there were breaches. There were a lot of different things going on. And the importance and significance of that, that once again, overall, that Lebanon is more or less secure, and the entities behind that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this is what the Lebanese are hoping for, and it's really minimal. If what they're hoping for is not to go back to a civil war, this is really very minimal. And the Lebanese people deserve, like any other nation, deserve much more than that, given the catastrophic economic situation that they have and the billions of dollars that they have to pay in interest to the World Bank and to their pursuit of economic help, to kickstart their economy. So this is very minimal. And if the goal is for the warlords in Lebanon and these sects to divvy power and interest, then the election has been very successful. Unfortunately, this has not moved the needle for the average Lebanese individual who are having a problem getting their garbage picked up from in front of their homes, who have to deal with power outages on a consistent basis, who have to deal with corruption and vote buying and all of this. So the election has not moved the country in the right direction economically, and I'm afraid it will push Lebanon in the direction of regional alliances and probably wars. And that explains why half of the Lebanese, from what I have read, have not even cared to go to the election, because it's warlords handing down their power to their sons and daughters, mostly sons. So the needle has not moved, and the Lebanese unfortunately have not been served by their politicians or this sectarian system that denies women the right to express themselves on the political map. Independents have no voice or little voice. So unfortunately, Lebanon continues to be, suffering from this political system that is making it, a proxy to regional powers and to world powers.
All right. What about that, Jamal Wakim? Your take on what our guests just said.
Well, I believe that the Lebanese political system is suffering from flaws and deficiencies, structural flaws and deficiencies, and that the system have been in a coma since the assassination of Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. And I believe that there are a lot of things that should be tackled by the political system regarding the livelihood of the people, which are not tackled, and that explains the deep crisis in which the country lives. For example, we don't have a productive sector, we don't have agriculture or industry, and we rely heavily on imports. Up to 90% of what we consume in Lebanon is imported. At the same time, we have a high inflation rates. We have a high unemployment rate, and all these are not solved due to the polarization in Lebanon and due to the various allegiances to various political elites, on the regional level or the international level. However, the whole economic and political system should be restructured, and I believe that your guest from Washington was right in explaining the weak turnout in the elections. Too bad we don't have what we call counter-hegemony or alternative forces that could replace the current political elite and economic elite, and that explains why the country will keep on going by default and keep being subject to the upheavals in the region and not be able to be fully immune from what's going on in the Middle East.
Well, Nasser Al-Amari, Western countries have backed the Future Party, promising the group $11 billion in loans and at least $1 billion credit line from Saudi Arabia. Why is that the case? What do they expect to get for these dollars?
The Lebanese political system has to get its act together at least at levels that are acceptable for the regional and the World Bank and the Western powers to allow funding to the Lebanese economy to even start. Unfortunately, I believe that And the next few years, the story will be written with economic titles in Lebanon. It is the economy. And having been ravaged by, war, the region has really wreaked havoc on the Lebanese economy. And there is a limit to what this economy can take when you can't kickstart the economy, when you have 1.5 million refugees. And when you have a political class that is concerned with retaining and holding on to power instead of serving their own country, I believe that the economy, needs that external help. And once again, with all these internal divisions, funds will not be coming from Saudi Arabia and other countries if they view the election as having given Hezbollah further power internally. So unfortunately, Lebanon and Syria are no longer in charge of their destiny, and any discussion in Lebanon or Syria has to be determined now in places like Saudi Arabia, the United States, Iran, and Russia. And these are the seeds of fraction and division that war has brought on Lebanon and Syria.
And Jamal Wakim, your take on the future of Lebanon. Tell me, post-election and near future, and of course within the next couple of years, where do you see Lebanon going?
Well, in the short run, I believe that the status quo, the political status quo, will prevail. As for the solution for the country, I believe that we could no longer keep running on a financial speculation system on this banking sector that leads its investments on the short run and relies heavily on speculation and on being indebting the country to other powers. We need to rely or replace the financial sector with productive sectors, mainly agriculture and industry, especially that we have skilled workers and we have good universities that are graduating people who could be working in high tech. So I believe that we need to restructure the country, which is not on the agenda of the current political and economic elite.
Because we are out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us out of Beirut. Professor of Lebanese International University, Mr. Jamal Wakim, and out of New York, writer and political commentator, Mr. Nasser Omari. And always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi signing out for myself and all the group. See you next time.